And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Mitch McMorrow. And today on the show, we're talking all about hypnosis.
Plus, we've got a roundup of the politics that's going on in the run-up to the general election. And a certain friend of mine wants to say hi.
All today, right here on Shout Out.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, hello, Mitch. How are you?
I'm okay.
So, brilliant film festival at the weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great, wasn't it? I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Hello. And hello, Matthew and John.
Ah, good evening.
Hi, everyone.
So, did either of you go? Brilliant film festival.
Oh, I went. No, yeah. I went on the Saturday.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's right. I saw you there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there. Yeah. I didn't, speak to many people there, and I left straight afterwards since I don't drink, so, I couldn't redeem my free cocktail coupon.
Oh, I have to admit, that was very nice, actually. Yeah. Yes. If you did go a lot, it was a start of Queer Vision, and we spoke to Jane a few weeks back, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
And it was the kickoff at the weekend. It was great. There was some, there were some serious ones in there that were a bit kind of, heart-wrenching,
yes.
Weren't there.
Yeah, yeah. But I think I saw some films on the Sunday, and Living in the Overlap was probably one of my favourites.
I like
Das Fallometer as well.
Das Fallometer, yeah.
Das Fallometer.
Yeah, a little
funny.
Bit too rude to talk about.
I still can't believe it actually was a thing that happened.
And the zebra as well that bumps into the tree, and it's all its lines all.
Of course, for anyone just tuning in, this sounds really surreal.
It does, yeah. But I think the message for the zebra was about, being different is okay.
Very much. But it was cool.
Charming.
It was cool. So now, talking about events and stuff that's going on, have any of you noticed that the producer is in town?
I did see that, yeah. Andy.
Have you seen it?
Well, several times on TV.
Oh, the film's brilliant. Yes,
I've seen a remake of it as well.
Yeah, it's got Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick in the film versions. Well, it depends which one, actually, because the original was a lot older than that. It wasn't a musical.
It was Mel Brooks, wasn't it?
And he wrote it, yeah.
He did write it. For me, the original film was just funny, and the stressed out accountant. Who was that? Was that that wasn't Danny Kaye, was it?
Oh, I don't know who it was in the original. Do either of you see that? I can't remember. I know someone who would know.
Do you?
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't even exist at that time, so I think my opinion's valid.
That's not a valid excuse, John.
Well, a certain friend of mine happens to be in town for it, and he very kindly let me come along and chat to him with a microphone in my hand. So have a listen to this.
Several years ago, I ended up chatting to someone at the Hippodrome about a particular character that they were here playing, and I'm very pleased to say he's back again with a different character. Welcome to Shout Out, David Padella.
Hello, thank you very much.
Now, completely different characters last time, isn't it? Last time we were talking Rocky Horror, and it was all makeup and glam. Now you're back with the producers.
Yeah, a little less makeup, but just as much glam.
Give us a very quick synopsis.
Well, it's taken from the original Mel Brooks film, which was back in the 70s. It's about a failed producer. He was once very successful, a Broadway producer. He's since fallen on hard times. His accountant comes to do his books, and they realize, wow, you can actually make more money with a flop than with a hit. So they decide to create a Broadway flop in an effort to make $2 million. They look for the worst script ever written, to take it to the worst director ever written, cast the worst actors in New York they can find, and hopefully have a Broadway flop. And of course, as luck would have it, it turns out to be a great sensation and is a huge Broadway success, landing them in jail.
And you're playing the world's worst producer.
I am. No, the director. I'm the world's worst director. Yeah. Roger Debris. He's very funny. He's ridiculously camp, but he is actually the most camp character I've ever played, this one, Roger Debris.
But has that been quite hard? Because, like you say, you've got quite a naturally deep...
Yeah, do you know what? I really resisted it for a long time. In fact, it was one of the reasons I almost didn't take the role, was was that I had drawn a line under all of the trans characters in my life, and I decided not to do that anymore simply because I'm so identified by the Rocky Horror years. But I decided to go ahead and do it anyway.
But you also end up playing the part of Hitler.
Yeah.
There's got to be the campest Hitler in the world. Yeah. That must
you know,
be
we
fun,
shouldn't be
sure.
saying that on the air.
No.
You're giving away a bit.
Yeah, I'm giving away a little bit of the story. But, I mean, that must be great fun, surely.
Yeah, that's the reason I ended up taking it. I watched the film and I realized that he gets to have what we call the 11 o'clock number. The whole evening builds towards this great, over-the-top spectacle. Hmm. And he's the star of it. And I thought, well, I can't let that pass by. So I'm doing Hitler.
So give us a little bit. You're here till Saturday.
Yeah, we play through Saturday, two shows Saturday.
And I believe it's ATG tickets, isn't it, if you want to get hold of one.
We'll be on tour until the second week of July, and we're doing lots of Scotland and some of Wales, and I think possibly even moving into the West End at the end of this whole thing.
Well, listen, it's brilliant to catch up with you again, and we're going to come see it on Saturday. I can't wait for that. So, but as they say, break a leg. I won't say what he says.
Thank you, Andy. Nice to speak to you again.
Oh, wasn't that nice of him?
That was brilliant.
It's really funny. Yeah. You can hear how deep his voice is, and he plays one of the campest characters in the show. I haven't seen it. I'm seeing it on Saturday, and I'm really intrigued to know just how well he does it. And I know he'll do it brilliantly, but
it's like Robin Williams did Birdcage, you know, you wouldn't imagine him being able.
True.
And then Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean.
And Andy, that's in town until the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in town until. It's quite heavily sold, so but there are still tickets available. HGTickets.com, I think it is, or .co.uk. We type it in. It's the one for the Hippodrome anyway. So, and there's still tickets available if you want to go see it. So they're going off to Belfast next. So if you miss it here, you've got a long journey to catch them back up again. But then they are touring around the UK. So now, anyway, talking of events, my young friend. The robot
he's
dance
doing the
so you
robot. That's so
singular.
Funny, John.
Yeah, feeling myself.
I could see you feeling the tunes there. Yeah.
So what events,
some body popping going on.
What events have you got for us, or is it body popping? It's
oh no, not body popping.
No. Today, but you're like. Zumba, aren't you? That's your favourite.
Yeah, but, you know, we can recognise a good dance.
I'm only good at interpretive dance.
Yeah, that's,
I'm just
that's
interpreting
the best kind.
My emotions.
It's the best kind.
Anyway, what events have you got for us, mate?
Okay, the theme for this week is things for young people to do since I'm, like, the youth correspondent.
Go
so
on.
I've got, like, two groups targeted at LGBT young people to, like, do things other than like drink and party.
Young people don't drink?
No.
I rarely see them at a party.
If they don't, what can they do?
Yes, but yeah.
Well, I think they can still do these things at some of these groups sometimes.
Oh, anyway,
not drink.
Okay, I'll rephrase. What groups are we talking about?
The first group we're talking about is Freedom Youth. Like, these aren't shady. No shade.
Good old Freedom Youth.
Yes, good old Freedom Youth. It's a young person-led space, so it's really nice and friendly. They have free food and drinks. Well, not alcoholic drinks.
And not every week. They don't have free food every week.
Not every week, though. Not every week.
But they meet every week, I think.
They do meet every week, though.
There's no obligation to do anything, so if you're going there, you don't really have to do anything. You can just chill, meet other people, relax, have a laugh, have a good kiki, you know.
Have a kiki.
And, yeah.
Cool. And if people are interested in that, how do they find out about it? Do we know?
Yeah, they have a Facebook page that you can, like, message for more information. And you can also contact Hannah at offtherecordbristol.com. I mean, yeah.
Offtherecordbristol.com. Cool.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. That's the website, isn't it?
OTR Bristol.
OTR.
Yeah,
OTR.
That's it. Yeah.
Cool. We can always put this stuff up on the website, can't we?
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
People want to find it. Cool.
And the second activity that I have for my young people this week is the Equal Youth Forum. Like,
all right.
I'm, like, kind of involved in it, so this is kind of, like, me plugging, like, my own thing, like, you know.
What is the Equal Youth Forum?
We like your plugging.
Okay, the Equal Youth Forum is, like, the way that young people can represent, LGBT young people can represent themselves in the Bristol City Youth Council.
Right.
At the moment, we're a bit short on members, and we're also looking for a new LGBT representative for the Bristol City Youth Council, since, LGBT issues aren't being addressed, and, they've tried to take equalities off the agenda, so we are looking for more people.
Is it sort of like youth politics?
Well, it's part of the democratic processes, isn't it? So it's a way of them getting their voices heard, raising things that concern them. It's an opportunity for them to get involved in those processes and actually put LGBT issues on the agenda for debate that gets taken into youth parliament and then further into parliament, and perhaps maybe even changing policies that affect young people.
I think this sort of thing is absolutely vital, because I saw a similar thing going on in Baines in Bath and North East Somerset, where I went to their Youth Equalities Summit, and Off the Record were there, and it's great. And if this sort of thing is happening in Bristol as well, absolutely brilliant.
But you're short on people, so anyone that's interested in getting involved in it should give you a shout. How do they get in contact?
Actually, we're meeting at the station tomorrow from 4:30 to 6:30 on the second floor.
All right.
And if you want to get in contact, you can contact Michelle here at
Hi.
Yeah.
Two hats.
Yeah.
Never guess.
Michelle McMorrow.
Yeah.
At
bristol.gov.uk.
Bristol.gov.uk.
Yeah.
But can they just come along tomorrow as well?
Yeah, come along. Come along to the station tomorrow and join us in our LGBT adventures as we prepare for Ida Hobbit Day.
Yes.
And very quickly, because you got a bit on Idaho or Ida Hot, whatever you call it. What do we call it then?
It is actually officially Ida Hobbit, isn't it?
Ida Hobbit.
Say what that means, John.
Yes, last year it was Ida Hot Day, which was International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia.
Yeah.
But this year we're including the bisexuals as well. Well, we included bisexuals before, but now we're giving them a letter, so it's Ida Hobbit now.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Great.
It's getting longer every year.
They're all inclusive.
So what's the date of it this year, do you know?
It's the same as it is every year, the 17th of May.
But what we're doing, we're doing something on the Friday, aren't we?
Yes, on the Friday beforehand, we're also doing a little talk about how to combat homophobia and transphobia and biphobia and all the phobias by standing up to oppression and mean people.
Cool. Where's that taking place?
That's also taking place at the station.
Oh, cool.
From 6:30.
Cool.
On
Friday. And then again, you can just come along for that one, can't
you? Yes, come along and watch some performances as well.
Yes.
Our dear John may grace us with his tunes.
Do some robot dancing for us.
And maybe do some interpretive dance.
Cool. My banging tunes.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, John.
No problem.
Hope they all go well.
Yes, cool. Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, if you haven't seen The Producers, here's a little clue of how it all starts.
Shout out podcast.
There you go. That is called We Can Do It from The Producers. That's the film version, which is obviously Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick singing it there. So I'd love to broadcast the cast that here in Bristol, but it hasn't been recorded. So you couldn't do that.
Are they going to record it?
I don't know. They do some, because you can buy the original Broadway cast and you can buy the London cast on iTunes.
Often do
so.
The DVD of the theatre production, don't they?
Anyway, other than that, there's plenty more news going on in the world. So let's head over to the lovely Terry and Natalie and find out what's going on.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 30th of April, 2015.
Around 2,000 people marched through the LGBT-friendly Shibuya district of Tokyo on Sunday. Shibuya became the first part of Japan to allow partnership registration for same-sex couples this year. It's part of a slow growth of awareness of LGBT issues in the largely socially conservative country. The parade organiser, Fumino Sugiyama, said this was noticeable in the public's reaction to the parade. He told the Japan Times, "The mood is definitely different this year. All the flyers or other goods we have prepared for visitors are disappearing like mad."
Radio Free Europe this week reports on the media work of Yelena Klimova, founder of the Russian group Children 404, which provides a safe web space where LGBT youngsters can talk to each other and share support in a country which the station described as deeply homophobic. To illustrate the rampant violence and harassment that sexual minorities face in Russia, Klimova has compiled photographs of some of her most rabid critics gleaned from social networking sites. The project, titled Beautiful People and What They Say to Me, features pictures of benign-looking men and women captioned with the obscene, hate-filled messages Klimova says they have sent to her online. Take a look at the link at our website, but be warned, when we say the messages are obscene and fanatically anti-gay, we mean it, so it's not for the faint-hearted.
Lesbian comedian Sandy Toksvig, known for her many radio and television appearances, is quitting the role of host on BBC Radio 4's topical panel show, The News Quiz. She has hosted the comedy show for 220 episodes over the course of 9 years, and will make her final appearance on Friday, June the 26th. BBC Radio 4's controller, Gwyneth Williams, described Toksvig is one of the station's most talented and respected presenters, who she said is leaving the show in incredible health. A replacement host will be announced later this year.
At the Women's Media Centre, a US-based non-profit newswire, Nicola Gutgold reports that Hillary Clinton's decision to run for president in 2016 is the most powerful example of what women can achieve and aspire to in politics. Hillary's campaign has also been praised for expressly incorporating support for LGBT issues from the very beginning. Gutgold's essay is linked to via our website, where you can read more about the story of women's involvement in US politics.
And staying with the US, the liberal and progressive newswire Common Dreams says that a verdict is expected in June from the Supreme Court, who have started to consider whether same-sex couples across the US can marry. Pollsters suggest that a record 60% of the US public now support marriage equality. The opponents of equality scored a major own goal and did not endear themselves to the court when one of their number went berserk and was reported to run around the chamber screaming that everyone present would burn in hell. He was removed from the proceedings by security. The campaign group Freedom to Marry is blogging about the hearings that have kick-started the Supreme Court's consideration of equal marriage. Pop along to Shoutout's website to read more about how the arguments have been going.
In the latest issue of gay lifestyle magazine Attitude, Sarah Kaywood criticises the British choice for the upcoming Eurovision Song Contest. She claims that the BBC have selected the UK's entry by Electra Velvet without reference to the wishes of the public, and claims that the contest will be something of an anticlimax. You can read Sarah Kaywood's full thoughts and further expert comments in this month's Attitude, which is out now.
For these news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shoutout News, this has been Moo
and Terry Starr.
Shout out news.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Yeah, thank you, Moo. Yes, our hypnotist will be in to talk to us in a minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out podcast.
Barbara Streisand.
Duck Sauce. Barbara Streisand, in case you had no clue what the name of that song was.
No, I quite like, I think I've done that in Zumba.
Oh, have you? Yeah. I suppose it is kind of like that kind of a dancey track,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely done it.
I take it you're still doing Zumba then?
Yes.
You don't need hypnotising to do more exercise. I probably do. Actually.
Well, I probably do, yeah, need hypnosis for something, but I'll have to work that out.
Now, that very, very cleverly leads us in. Did you notice that? That very cleverly leads us into introducing our guest, which is the lovely Sarah, who's come in to talk all about hypnosis today, haven't you? Welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Now, take me back, because it sounds, having read all the notes and spoken to you about it, like it was quite a life-changing thing. But before you got into this, you were doing regular 9-to-5 job working in IT and the like, weren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I was doing the whole IT training, programming, coding, and just not feeling the love for that at all. No heart in it. I'd even get to work sometimes and I'd just write out the half hours through the day and just tick them off as the day passed.
Gosh, was that
waiting to get home?
Oh. So I'm the wrong person.
That's a sign of a bored
woman. Just wasn't happening for me. And then this kind of idea of massage just kind of popped into my head, and I thought, well, you know, if I do a course in that, then, you know, I'll be having more fun, I'll be meeting new people, maybe my job will just suddenly seem more interesting because I'm having a bit more fun outside of that. So I trained in massage, did that, which just opened up a whole new world, and the hypnotherapist followed on.
Oh, right, so the hypnotherapy wasn't the initial thing, it was the massage.
The massage was the first thing, but that what that led me to was the power of relaxation.
Right.
And
because you did something that a lot of people think is very, very scary. I've done it myself, but you literally stopped working in 9 to 5 and went, right, I'm going to set up my own business.
Yes.
Did you back then, did you have any idea of how much it takes to run your own business?
I pretty much had no idea at all.
No.
Yeah. It was led very much by, the passion for it. And in hindsight now, I realise, you need passion for it, but you also need a business brain. You also need to be your own,
you've
planning
got to
department,
at all sorts, haven't you? Yeah.
Finance, marketing, stuff that I've had to get some help with, get some support with, and begin to be able to do for myself, a lot better, and realise what I can do.
But I take it you don't regret it, because you're still doing it and loving it, aren't you?
I don't regret it. I haven't regretted it a single day. And there's been so many things where you stop getting the big salary and you stop getting all the benefits of that, and then you realise, oh, crikey, well, if I don't massage anyone, there's going to be no money coming in. So my salary dropped right down and it's crept up. So if you're going to do it, you've got to be prepared to...
Yeah, I was going to say... Cause
maybe have a cushion of money that you can kind of...
Yeah, because it seems like quite a short space of time that you seem to have sort of turned this around. So how long did it actually take you?
Well, the massage training was back in 2001. So that was quite a while back. And what I did initially was I was able to go part-time at work.
Oh,
so
right,
I dropped down to a 3-day week and 2 days of massage. But then even that, I was thinking, I don't really want to be even doing the 3 days,
But then when you've got to keep a cash flow coming in.
You've got to keep cash flow. And it's
very nice. A lot of people don't get the opportunity to do that. So it's a very good way of doing it.
Well, it was funny because I'd been asking to go part-time. They weren't interested. And then suddenly it was like, well, I think I might leave then. I was like, well, do you want to go part-time? What a great idea. I hadn't thought of that. What a great idea. So that was...
Oh, that's a good trick.
Yeah. That was brilliant for me. Gave me a chance to start, and then I just had this. I thought, I've got to cut the cord. I've got to do it for real. I've got to jump in and do it.
Was it a home business, or have you got your own premises now? Or
it's changed over the years. Initially, I was doing a bit. I lived somewhere where I could. I had a room at home that I could use.
Right.
And then I was also working a bit. Sadly, just closed relaxation centre.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah. I used to work there as well, so I was able to work there pretty soon after I qualified. So I did some work there, some work at home, and then I've had times where I haven't worked from home because where I live just didn't suit it, so I've rented space and built up. So I've moved location a few times through Bristol, but luckily loyal clients, they've followed me I've moved.
That's always, it's also very flattering, I would imagine, as well, isn't it?
I've got people now I've been working with for 8-9 years, if not, but there might even be people I've been working with the whole
there's
time.
A real,
now,
yeah, there's a real sense of achievement with that, isn't there?
It's
that
you've lovely. Got,
that you must be doing something. So what's the best feedback that you've had from that then?
Feedback is amazing that you get from people. It's so varied. And, I've had people just really appreciate the fact that they've been able to come to me through the years, maybe through life changes, through pregnancies, the children growing up, and they say, whenever I come to see you, I always get something different, but it's always what I needed. And that's just what I want to hear, that's perfect. Yeah. And in other people, the feedback's more like, after a massage or a hypnotherapy session, they're like, God, I'm so relaxed, that's better than any gin and tonic I could ever have had. And, that's lovely as well, yes, it's just different.
Yeah.
Some of the feedback probably can't say on the air, but you get some quite outrageous comments but it's great.
So you say, I don't quite know how you describe it on the radio. You might have a better clue than I do. You say it's a relaxation massage you do, isn't it? How does that differ? What is it that makes it...
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of the work I do, it could be quite remedial. It could be working to help a really, a sore shoulder or a painful back or, some real, tangible reason why someone's come.
As something like physical, like muscle ache or something.
Exactly.
But I'm assuming you also can do that, I've had a stressful day.
Exactly. And so often they're tied together. And for me, whatever someone comes with, whether it is purely relaxation or it is more of a remedial thing, if you can approach it all with that aim of bringing relaxation, bringing enjoyment, it's got to be enjoyable. What's the point otherwise?
Yeah.
And if people are relaxed and they're able to let the massage in, rather than it be a fight, I'm not doing it to them, you know, I'm doing it with them.
Yeah.
They get so much more out of it. They,
so you know, if I came to yours and said, okay, I'd like a relaxation massage, what happens? Is it like, you know, a 5-minute thing, or is it an hour thing? Or
typically people have an hour appointment.
Right.
And if it was the first time we'd met, I'd talk with you, I'd ask you plenty of stuff about yourself, about how you are in your body, any niggles there might be, any health stuff, so I can get a real picture of you so that I can give you the best massage that I can for you, because then I'm going to tailor it, because I would give you probably a very different massage than I would Mitch, that I would Matt, that I would anybody else, because you've got different needs and different things going on. So I'd want to find out a bit, so we talk for a bit first.
So proper consultation.
A consultation, exactly.
And then...
Well,
and
I know, correct me if I'm right, there are also some circumstances where you can't, for medical reasons, give people massages.
Yeah, the very few situations where you couldn't do anything, because, I mean, touch is such a basic, fundamental human thing. It's so natural that there's very rare that you couldn't even just put your hands on and hold somebody.
Yeah, so how did you then go from that into the whole hypnotherapy thing?
Yeah,
because they're not always that well connected, are they? I certainly wouldn't normally associate them.
No, it's not
together.
A direct link, but I think it was through the power of the relaxation that people were getting from the physical interaction, the touch interaction, but also the power of the words, the way, and you know the power of words working in radio. It's, you know, that you can change a situation, you can change an atmosphere with the words that you use, and you can bring the best out of people, or you can bring the worst out of people with the words that you use. Yeah. And I got really interested in that, and the power of suggestion, the power of
facilitate.
So that led me to wanting to know more, and how can I get more clued up about that to help people get more out of themselves.
Would you add that with your massage? Would you say sort of like affirmations in your massage as well? Would you blend?
Or do you hypnotise people and massage them? Is it?
Yeah.
I'm guessing you don't do them both together, do you?
I don't do them both together, but they do influence each other certainly. Yeah. And I think I'm more aware now of the words that I use, and being even more conscious of having a positive little encouraging people to be positive, because that puts us in a different part of our brain, that puts you in the part of your brain that can find solutions, that can sort out problems.
So is it like you see on TV where you put them under and then you are suggestive towards them, and is it, I don't
mean like tricky Jaron Brown?
Well, I'm assuming you don't do the whole when you wake up you're going to quack like a duck or something, you know. But
yeah, I tend not to. People don't tend to come to me. I can, but I don't.
Sorry
about that. I couldn't help
it. Sorry, did that outside.
Yeah. Well, I bet you've had a few fun parties where you have done that.
It's always nice to know you could, you know. You never know when you might want to do that. But I think the difference is because it's the same stuff. It's the same basic stuff that the brain is suggestible, and you can, you know, but where I'm coming from, I'm not coming from it from an entertainment point of view.
No, you're doing it for a relaxation. But everyone be hypnotised? Or are there some that they just aren't susceptible to?
If you want to be, then yeah.
But you have to be kind of open-minded.
All you need to do is go into a state of really, it's focus, it's concentration.
Right.
Because the trance state that you go into is very much the same state you'd go into if you were perhaps out on a run, or you'd drive. You know, you've probably had the experience, you've driven somewhere, you can't remember the last 10 minutes of the drive, but you've got there safely, but you've been somewhere else.
Mm, yes.
It's a natural state, but it's that state. So we engineer that state.
Right.
And when you're in that state, your brain is much more open to suggestion. So if people come to me because they want to raise their confidence levels, or they come to me because they want to sort out their golf swing, or they come to me because they want to give up smoking or lose weight, or get that commitment to the gym that they know.
Does it last a long time, or is it something you've got to keep having reinforced?
No, I mean, things like smoking, you can do that in one session. If people want to give up and they're ready to give up, one single session and they're done. It's black and white, because you don't need to.
That sounds really easy.
It does sound very easy.
You know, you can just choose not to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it supports that process.
Mm. I gave up cold turkey. Trust me, that's not easy.
I kind of wish I'd actually tried
hypnotherapy for it. So. We can talk to you for hours now. I find it fascinating. It's great.
It is.
I mean, especially the whole hypnotherapy thing, because I still swear blind I couldn't be hypnotised, but I've never tried, so I will have to at some
time. Maybe you should come and have a session, and then you can report back to the listeners.
Yes,
and
that'd be good.
You could be the testing. Yeah.
I can hear the boyfriend shouting now, make him thinner.
But also, I don't think I can be hypnotised either. I think I've tried hypnotising, and I'm just too resisting. But, you know, so
anyway,
it's interesting.
Anyway, listen, it's been lovely talking to you, and it's fascinating, and it's great as well. It's a success story. You've set up a business, especially at a time when, you know, that was just pre-credit crunch, and we've had all that horrible stuff going on, and you've survived through it.
It didn't seem to have a difference. People just, you know, they kept coming. They like what they get, so they keep coming, and it's just brilliant.
If someone's
really
listening,
a good testament to your skills as well.
If someone's listening and they want to come and have a massage, or perhaps have a go at giving up smoking, etc., you've got a website, haven't you?
Yes, I've got a website. It's sarahhaw.co.uk,
and that's Hoare.
Yes, I've had all the whore jokes about being a massage therapist called whore. I've heard them all, I think. Yeah, Hoare. There's no W's anywhere to be seen.
Well, there you go. And you never know, listeners. So we might be reporting from Sarah's place at some point.
You could at least have a massage and tell us.
Yes, true.
Tell us the healing hands.
Anyway, I know a few people I'd like hypnotised, and we're going to be reporting on them when we start covering all the politics in a little bit with Matthew Tosh.
Steady.
Do stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out. Have I got the right one? Yeah.
A Shout Out podcast.
That's Steve Grand and Benny and the Jets is the name of the song. So you might know him. He's that very famous country western singer from the US who's young and openly gay. It caused quite a storm because, of course, country and western.
That's quite unusual for a country singer, isn't it?
Well, yeah, precisely. But he's a young chap. He's gorgeous looking as well. Look him up online. And I'd noticed that he released a single back in December and I'd missed it. So I thought I'd get it in the show.
Okay,
so.
Good.
Now, Mr. Tosh.
Sorry, you're talking, I was just looking him up. Sorry. Yes.
don't do that now.
Not now, not now. No, I need you to concentrate because this is serious
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Serious, yeah.
We're going to talk politics, and I know that because we're Ofcom regulated, it's all quite strict what we can and can't say.
And that's it's been quite interesting because it's pushed us in a particular direction on the One Love Breakfast, which is a breakfast show I work on, and we've had the political candidates coming in from. We're going to cover the four main constituencies across Bristol. We're about. Three quarters of the way through, so we've got more to see next week. And here's a summary of the LGBT issues that we've been discussing. On the One Love Breakfast, we have been interviewing parliamentary candidates from each of the four Bristol constituencies. We've chosen the parties to speak to based on the last general election result, selecting the top four ranking parties in each constituency. One of the questions we've been asking is, do you support same-sex marriage? And would you legislate to ensure Northern Ireland falls into line with the rest of the UK? As you'd expect, we got a range of immediate responses, ranging from this,
yes and yes,
to this.
Oh dear. Right.
That first no-nonsense clip was from the straight-talking Labour candidate for Bristol West, Thangam Debonair. The second clip, well, we'll come to him in a moment. Claire Campion-Smith is standing for the Liberal Democrats in Bristol North West.
Yes, I do believe in same-sex marriage. I think it's important that we should have that equality for people. I find it quite horrifying when I think about what people used to do, even sort of 30 or 40 years ago, when homosexuality was illegal and people were seriously penalised by it. So I'm horrified by the past. I'm glad we've got it.
A Bristol East candidate is Theo Clark, who is standing for the Conservatives.
Yes, I do support same-sex marriage. It's a personal choice of two people. They're in a committed relationship, and I think it's good that we recognise that. And I do believe that Northern Ireland should follow and adopt the same practice as the rest of the UK.
Her colleague in Bristol West would agree.
I think Northern Ireland should fall into line with the UK.
Claire Hiscott, Conservative candidate for Bristol West.
Same-sex marriage is absolutely crucial. What we have done is bring equality into the state.
Equality brought to the state. The Green candidate Darren Hall in Bristol West disagrees. He thinks we're not quite there yet.
We've dragged our feet over this for far too long. There's that sense that perhaps we've got there, but actually we haven't. And these issues around marginalising of other all sorts of other issues as well need to be top of the agenda. We need to keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Another Darren, this time Darren Jones, is representing Labour in Bristol North West.
Absolutely support same-sex marriage. I don't think it matters who you fall in love with. If you want to show that commitment, you should be given the right to do so. On the Northern Ireland issue, I'm not actually familiar with the details of that, so I'd need to look at it. But you know, if you're part of the United Kingdom, then I think you should be complying with United Kingdom law.
Someone who is a bit more familiar with the Northern Ireland issue is Bristol West Liberal Democrat Stephen Williams. Not surprisingly, he's very pro-marriage equality.
The second part is complicated because we do have devolution to Scotland, yep. and they've made their own decisions about same-sex marriage, and Northern Ireland, sadly, have not. But in terms of the principle, of course I support it. I've campaigned for civil rights for gay people, you know, all my political career going back 20 years, effectively. Sure. Not just because it is personal to me, but because I think, you know, everyone in Britain deserves to be treated equally. And if marriage was available as an institution to straight couples, then why should it be closed to gay couples? Because it's a public demonstration of your love and commitment to someone else with some legal protection.
Labour's Kerry McCarthy, Bristol East, voted on the Equal Marriage Bill.
Wow, yes I did. I still do. I voted for it when it went through Parliament. I think it's very important in terms of sending out a message that discrimination shouldn't be tolerated. It's always been more difficult in Northern Ireland because of the extent to which religion dominates politics. And we've had this... It was an interesting strand that ran through the debate in that, you know, whether you allow free votes, for example, when people's religious beliefs means that they're against tackling discrimination.
Sure.
I'm not quite sure we've got there in terms of winning that argument, but I actually think that it comes into whether one human right trumps another human right. But I do think that it's so important, LGBT equality is so important, that you shouldn't really allow people to sort of stand in the way of it because of their own personal beliefs.
Sure.
And she wasn't the only candidate to cite religion as a potential barrier or sensitive issue. In fact, most of the candidates mentioned this. However, the Conservative, Charlotte Leslie, standing in Bristol North West, didn't conflate the issues.
I found it one of the most difficult things to decide because I fundamentally disagreed that an MP should be the person who decides whether a union between two people is a marriage or not.
OK, so who does?
So I would like the state to preside over a civil partnership for homosexual and heterosexual couples. And I would like civic and religious and any other institution that the people sort of see as their institution to sanctify it, or whatever word you want to use, as a marriage. So that the state only takes care of the civil partnership element. And that thing that makes it special between two people is delivered and overseen by the institution of those people's choice.
Abdul Malik is standing for the Liberal Democrats in Bristol East. His thoughts on Northern Ireland.
I think they should, and I do support equalities and same-sex marriages in that when they come under that bracket, and I feel that they shouldn't, because I think that it should be a natural thing that government accepts, as they do with most of the equalities agenda in this country.
We invited the UKIP candidate for Bristol East, James McMurray, onto the show, but he declined to speak to us. So instead, we spoke to the Greens, who were ranked next. Their candidate is Lorraine Francis.
I believe people must do what they have to do, and if it means that you are lesbian, I embrace you. If you are homosexual, I embrace you. I have no issues to do with people's race, gender, and life partner choices. I agree with same-sex marriages.
We did speak to UKIP member Michael Frost, who is standing for the party in Bristol North West. He was the first of all the candidates to come into the One Love Breakfast studio and was asked the same questions.
If you're asking for UKIP's policy, then we are a libertarian party, and what people do in their own private lives should be largely left to them.
This sounded a bit like toleration than celebration, and so we pressed him on this.
You'll tolerate, but not celebrate. Say it as it is. Say it as it is, Michael.
Well, personally, I think a marriage is a union between one man and one woman.
So to follow then, you wouldn't ensure that Northern Ireland falls into line with the rest of the UK?
Well, I don't think Northern Ireland would do anyway, because you know they have got a much stronger view on this sort of thing.
So there you have it. A snapshot of the candidates' views on equal marriage in three of the Bristol parliamentary constituencies so far.
Next week on the One Love Breakfast, we'll be interviewing candidates from Bristol South, and you'll be able to hear them by listening to the show live on BCFM 93.2 and Pirate Nation, weekdays from 7 a.m. Now, we've put a link to the full list of candidates on the Shoutout website, so go to shoutoutradio.org.uk for this week's programme, and you'll find a link to all the candidates.
Yeah, I'm biting my teeth, the things I want to say.
You're not allowed.
Not allowed.
Hi, this is David Bandella, and I play Roger Debris in The Producers, and you're listening to Shoutout.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout podcast.
Oh, Mitch. Yeah. I really, 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 really like you.
I really like you too, Andy. That's so poppy.
How many reallys are there?
Really, 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 Jepson.
Six. Hello, Natalie. How are you?
Hello, I'm okay.
I believe you've been off at some awards ceremony recently.
I was a guest of a nominee at the British LGBT Awards in London.
Was it fun?
It was fun. It was really glamorous.
What did you wear, Natalie?
I wore this wonderful long red dress and had some professional do my makeup, everything.
Although, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Fab.
Although, I did not look as glam as all the celebs that were there.
No. Oh, yeah. It was a celebrity type thing, was it?
Oh, yeah. It was basically British LGBT royalty there.
Mm. And you had pictures with some of them, didn't you? You had Stoosh as well.
Stoosh.
A
swimmer.
A swimmer. Tom Daly was there as well.
Tom Daly wasn't actually there.
Oh, wasn't
Tom
he?
Daly did actually win the award for the sports personality. But he was.
Oh, shame. You could have given him the shout out award he won as well.
He did a video thing because he was in Russia.
Choice.
Yeah, I did give Graham Norton a shout out card and ask him about the fact that had he received the shout out awards. And
well, no, they're sat on my desk. I wouldn't know where to post them to. That's the problem.
Well, I did explain it to him that, like, you know, we don't actually know
if
where
you're
to post them.
If you're listening, Mr. Norton, we'd love to send them to you. I think he's got two of them, actually.
They could be added to your collection, Graham.
I'd have to admit, I do enjoy Graham Norton on TV.
Yes, I do think he's hilarious.
He's a brilliant presenter.
But he's got the beard now, isn't he?
Yes, I know. Doesn't he look different with the beard?
Very different.
And I will say, he was one of the ones who came out from the VIP area and joined in the sort of less important people like me.
Fair play.
Yeah, nice one, Graham.
But yeah, it was a wonderful awards ceremony. Lots of big names, lots of big awards given out.
So, what kind of awards did they have? They had sports, you said?
Sports, television personalities, sports presenters, sports person, and then they had a lot of corporate awards as well.
People
that have done things.
Neat.
Did they have any media, like people in the media or anything, like, you know, like singers and musicians and things like that then?
Oh yeah, all the big names.
Yeah, cool.
So, I mean, you know, there was a couple of girls allowed there, but I didn't manage to find them. I'd love to.
Well, speaking of awards, we're still up for nomination ourselves in the National Diversity Awards. And if you to shoutoutradio.org.uk/NDA, you will be able to see all the info about it and vote for us as well, which would be cool.
Yeah, please vote for us, because then, you know, we've got to go along there and I've got to drink lots of champagne.
And I might have to wear a dress.
I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's worth vote. Vote.
Wear a dress.
I don't think Mary would wear a dress. I'm sorry, Mary, I'm not speaking on your behalf, but I suspect you would probably wear a suit.
I think hell would have to freeze over before Mary would wear a dress, if I'm 100% honest. But,
yes, I was going
to say, I don't even think
like
she
that.
Wore a dress on the day she got married, so I don't think we're going to get her to wear. Anyway, that's it from us for this week. If you are off to see the producers, trust me, you will love it. It's great fun.
We hope that you enjoyed this show, which as always will be available to download from shoutoutradio.org.uk shortly.
Next week we're going to be talking to the Gay Classic Cars Club.
Which is actually interesting, isn't it?
Gay Classic Cars Club. Anyway, live at 7 and then repeated on several stations afterwards. All details on our website. See you next week. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.